Earlier I mentioned that this particular Shabbat, our Torah reading is taken from Leviticus chapter 9, verse 1, and it goes through chapter 11, verse 47. It is titled Shemini. I'd like to speak a little bit about the Torah portion and some of the teachings or concepts that this brings forth, as well as to also look upon Parshas Parah, that is the red heifer, because I think as we prepare for Passover, we can see many, many things in this particular extra reading that we do on this Shabbat that reminds us that God had given certain understandings to the sages and prophetically had put forth the understanding that the Messiah would also be the one that would be our sin bearer. So keep those things in mind. I'd like to start out with just looking at what I mentioned earlier was the death of Nadab and Abihu. These were the sons of Aaron, who, as I mentioned, had offered strange fire before the Lord, and who were, of course, devoured and died before the Lord. Concerning strange fire, Rabbi Hertz, who wrote a commentary, this is from strictly a Jewish perspective, he has several comments, and I'd like to read these from his Chumash. If any of you have his Chumash here this morning, you certainly can follow along as well, but it's on page 455. He says here, strange fire. What was this? Unconsecrated fire, not from the divinely kindled flames of the altar. On the very day of the consecration of the Mishkan, that is the sanctuary, they ventured to change an essential of the service in obedience to a momentary whim. In the circumstances and in view of their office, it constituted what our sages consider as an unpardonable offense. The rabbis, observing that the narrative is followed by an injunction that the priests were not to drink intoxicating liquor, be performing their duties, states as follows, that Nadab and Abihu had dared to enter into the sanctuary under the influence of drink. It says, neither Moses nor Aaron, in taking the step they did, they didn't consult them, and this was deliberate disregard of their elders that sprang from jealousy. They asked themselves, when will these old men die? How long must we wait to lead the congregation? It was an impious ambition that led them to commit the unhallowed deed which called down the terrible retribution of God. The prescribed way that was set forth in the Torah of how to approach a holy God and also is important to us in that we must be obedient to our commander, to follow his ways and his instructions. In the Gospel of Yochanan, that is in John chapter 14, verse 6, Yeshua, who is our commander, the one that we love and respect as our Lord and Savior, he gives to each man and woman and boy and girl a prescribed way in which to come into the presence of Hashem, all who are perfect and holy. Yeshua said, and I quote, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We find it that is most interesting when we go back to Rabbi Hertz. Again, he was not a Messianic Jew. He wrote these commentaries that he says they ventured to change an essential of the service in obedience to a momentary whim. And so doing so, what happened was that in the circumstance and in view of their very office as being priests, it constituted what, again, they considered an unpardonable sin. Sometimes I ask the question, could it be that the suffering and the oppression of our people throughout the past two millennia has resulted from disobedience and changing an essential of the service to meet a momentary whim? You see, Moses, through the hand of Hashem, wrote in the very book of Vayikra in chapter 17, again, that's Leviticus 17, verse 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And he says, I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. And it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. You see, our people, when the temple had been destroyed, decided that blood sacrifice was no longer necessary. And they said that instead, we must give good works and charity. It's part of the high holiday message that's said in the synagogues on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which many of you may be familiar with. The writer of the book of Hebrews in chapter 9, verse 22 tells us, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And in verse 26, that he, that is Messiah Yeshua, appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Today's Torah reading confronts each of us with this particular primary question concerning obedience and disobedience in the following the Word of God and what is required of us to enter into the presence of Hashem, thus having and receiving a personal relationship with God the Father, that is, of course, Hashem. Yeshua instructs us that we who do the will of Hashem shall enter into God's presence. For he says in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. I kind of thought about this as I reviewed my notes, that Don was obedient. God asked him to learn Hebrew. Then he asked him what? To go ahead and prepare to be a bar mitzvah. It was one of the things that he had to decide whether to do this or not to do this. And yet he was faithful, and God will reward him for that. And if we are faithful in following what God tells us individually, and it may be different for each one of us, but yet if we follow God's instructions and become adherent to what he asks us to do, we will receive his blessings and truly all good things in life. Amen. We see here that as our fathers were instructed by Messiah Yeshua on how to obtain and secure the blessings of the divine fellowship, Yeshua taught that if a man love me, he will do what? He will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come into him and make our abode with him. It's that indwelling direction and guidance that we have of the Holy Spirit of the Ruach HaKodesh. And I was quoting from John, or 1 John chapter 2, 17. We also read, however, that if we fail to be obedient, offering strange fire or any other gospel, and there are many other gospels and messages that are out there today, and if we adhere to those, then we are subject to the penalty of disobedience, even as Nadab and Abihu were not truly obedient to following what God had instructed them in offering the proper fire. Concerning disobedience, we find that the penalty is clearly spelled out in both the Tanakh, that is the Hebrew Scriptures, as well as in the Brit Hadashah, or the New Covenant. In 1 Samuel 12:15, Samuel tells the people clearly, and quote, if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you, as it was against your fathers. We see not only do we find this in the Tanakh, that is the Hebrew Scriptures, but Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, tells us in Ephesians 5:6, he says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of the things that cometh from the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So it's very clear in both the Tanakh as well as the New Covenant that we are to be obedient to God's instructions. In fact, that's a very simple principle that Yeshua taught. If you love me, you will do what? You will keep my commandments or my instructions. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 2, we read, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? So truly we know, or we should know the word if we are in it, and I challenge you, if you're not in it, spend time in the word of God, because he gives us instructions, and if we adhere to those, truly then we are obedient. It should also be noted that much of the Torah portion, if you read it in its entirety, which we, of course, did not do so, but I would encourage you to do sometime during the Shabbat, perhaps this afternoon, it concerns itself with dietary laws and that concerning clean and unclean animals. And there, of course, our sages and others say that there have been many explanations as to why were these laws given. For health and hygiene, for sanitation and so forth. Certain animals are parasites, carry certain types of infections, even ringworms, and we're not to eat of those animals because they will do bodily harm to us. But in chapter 11, I think we see a better understanding of why God gave us these specific instructions. In chapter 11, verses 44 through 47, and specifically in 44, it says, the Lord told Moses to his people, sanctify yourselves therefore, and be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. You see, we're given a set of instructions. We're to live differently from the world. I mentioned this on Friday night many times when we take we say the prayer of sanctification, to sanctify the Sabbath day. But we as a people must be a holy nation, and we must follow what God tells us to do. If we live holy lives and people see us as we take our very principles and our directives and how we act in life, if they can see the image of Yeshua in us, that provokes them to jealousy. And that's what I would challenge you this morning. Live as Yeshua lived, follow his example, because he was the perfect one who followed all of God's instructions. And that's a very important lesson to a bar mitzvah, whether they be a young boy or even an adult male that comes forth, that we are all, of course, to heed and adhere to God's word. And Hertz offers a very interesting note. This is a rabbi, again, who wrote the Hertz commentary concerning Israel's bid and call to holiness. And I'd like to read this. That's on page 453. It says here that, sanctify yourselves and be holy. Israel is bidden to be holy. This demand has two aspects, one that is positive and the other that is negative. The positive aspect may be called the imitation of God. Isn't that interesting? We are to imitate or to conform to the image of Yeshua, although he doesn't say that, being Orthodox, obviously. But it's interesting to draw that parallel between them. And he goes on to say here, Rabbi Hertz, the negative aspect means a withdrawal from things impure and abominable. Even as nothing that suggests that the least taint could be associated with God, so it was the duty of the Israelites to strive so far as it was attainable by man to avoid whatever defile them, whether physically or spiritually. And that applies to us too as well. Wherever men and women honestly strive after holy living, such striving carries its own fulfillment of it. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair said, and I quote, heedfulness leads to cleanliness. Cleanliness leads to purity. Purity to holiness. Holiness to humility. Humility to the dread of sin, and the dread of sin to saintliness. Chasidut. Saintliness to the possession of what? The Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Here it's found even in the Hertz Chumash, that as we adhere to God, and we are obedient to him, he fills us with his Holy Spirit, and that truly gives us that infilling that we need to live holy and consecrated lives. So we as believers are called to imitate God, to follow his example that is best demonstrated in the life of Yeshua. He is the perfect one, called the Holy One of Israel. Rav Shaul tells us that truly in Romans 8:28, be conformed to the image of his Son, so that we might be his first fruits among many brethren. Likewise, we must also strive to sanctify ourselves, that is, that we might heed in the power of the Ruach HaKodesh. Concerning sanctification, the writer of Hebrews also writes as follows: sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do the will of God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By that which will we also be sanctified through the offering of the body of Yeshua HaMashiach once and for all. This again is found in Hebrews 10, verses 8 through 10. As we strive to be sanctified, we're never going to live perfect lives, not in these human bodies, but it's something that we must strive to do, that is to be that obedience to God. And he says, likewise, we then can be led by God of the Holy Spirit to ask Hashem that he might walk in the direction and the power of the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 11, verse 13, Yeshua tells us, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? That's all we have to do is ask him. And once he instructs us to follow through and to really listen and adhere to all that he wants of our lives. So this morning, each of us, I believe, must choose to come before Hashem either in accordance with his prescribed way, or if not, by strange fire. We have free choice. God gives us that ability. The question that we must ask ourselves, will we be obedient, knowing that Hashem through Yeshua gives us life eternal and blessings, or will we try to come in our own way by disobedience, thus in death resulting in the same as Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Moses, of Aaron? For those of you who are sanctified by the blood of Yeshua, may we further ask to do the will of our Heavenly Father, not in our own power, but that of the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, whom we receive in the fullness of only asking. And so I believe that's an important teaching that we can derive from the main Torah portion this morning, and one that truly I believe Don has done, and certainly God will bless him for that. Today is also called Shabbat Chukat. And it's actually what I'd like to speak on just for a few moments in closing is the revealing of the mystery of the Parah Adumah, or the red cow or the red heifer, if you may have heard of it. It's found in the book of Bamidbar, that is in Numbers chapter 19. And it concerns this Parah Adumah, or the red heifer, and belongs to a group of commandments dealing with the laws of purification. Those laws consist of things in terms of childbirth, leprosy, bodily secretions, and truly having come in contact with a dead corpse. If you know Jewish tradition, even after we go to a funeral, we must wash ourselves, we must purify ourselves. And so God, before Passover, provided this extra type of offering, and it was called the sacrifice of the red calf, or the Parah Adumah. In essence, this chukat, and chukat actually means a statute. It provides for the removal of defilement, which resulted, of course, primarily with contact for the dead. But anytime we involve ourselves in sin, sin leads to death itself. The red heifer, it's interesting, is to be freed of all blemish, and one who has not been broken to the yoke. It was to be slain outside the camp. And that's an interesting thing. Again, remember that. And it was to be burned with cedar wood, hyssop, and scarlet being cast upon the pyre. The ashes then were to be dissolved in fresh water and were to be sprinkled on those who had become contaminated because of contact with a dead body. And this is the historical reason it was given. This hukot or statute, according to our sages and rabbis, is very interesting. It is described as a most mysterious rite of scripture, and rabbis seem not to be able to understand it. Its aim was to purify the defiled, and yet at the same time, what it did is defiled all those who were in any way connected with the preparation of the ashes and the water. Now that's something to think about for just a moment. In other words, try to put it more simply, the Parsha Aduma purifies the impure and at the same time renders the impure pure. Isn't that interesting? Should I repeat that again? Because I know that's kind of confusing. That red heifer purifies the impure and at the same time renders impure the pure. Can you see the relationship of Yeshua in that understanding? The Parsha Aduma is a beautiful picture then of our Messiah. We actually read further that he was without spot and blemish. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, it reads, "You should be aware that the ransom paid to free you from the worthless way of life of which your fathers passed on to you. It did not consist of anything perishable like silver or gold, but on the contrary, it was the costly, bloody, sacrificial death of the Messiah as a lamb without defect or spot." And in 2 Corinthians 5:21, I'd like to read a number of passages. It says, "God made this sinless man to be a sin offering on our behalf so that in unison with him we might have fully sharing in God's righteousness." So it's a matter of faith, truly to trust in Yeshua's sacrifice. And then according to the laws of purification, we read in 1 John chapter 3, verses 3 to 5, "And anyone who has the hope of him continues purifying himself." You see, we're called to seek purity as we approach Passover, certainly because our redemption took place from Egypt and God wants us to be a pure people and live sanctified lives. It says, "Since God is pure, everyone who keeps sinning is violating God's Torah or his commandments. Indeed, sin is violation of the Torah. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins and that there is no sin in him." That is, of course, our Messiah. And we know the Bible is very clear. It says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Talks about the individual soul, not collectively. I've often wondered how can our people who do not believe in Yeshua's sacrifice say that all Israel shall be saved, as Pirkei Avot, the Ethics of Fathers, says. But yet we see if we violate even one commandment, it's though we have broken them all. And so truly we have a way that God has given us. Again, that's following in God's way, not our own, as mentioned in the Torah portion, as I mentioned this morning. And then I mentioned that this sacrifice of the Parsha Aduma took place outside the camp. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 10 through 12, we read, "We have an altar from which those who serve in the tent are not permitted to enter it. For the Kohen HaGadol, that is the high priest, brings the blood of animals into the holiest place as a sin offering, but their bodies are burnt outside the camp. So too Yeshua suffered death outside the gate in order to make the people holy through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him who is outside the camp and to share his disgrace." We also see that according to the Mishnah, the actual ceremonial burning of the red heifer, the Parsha Aduma, was exacted about seven times in history. Once Moses, once by Ezra, and five times after Ezra. And it disappeared from Jewish life after the destruction of the temple. In fact, you may hear some sermons given that again, the priests and the Temple Institute are looking for the para duma, the red calf or the red heifer, so that they can again once institute this traditional observance within Judaism. And then a couple more verses just before I close. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 24 through 28. For I will take you from among all the nations and gather you out of all the countries, and I will bring you into your own land. V'zacharti aleichem mayim tehorim. And I will sprinkle what? Clean water. He says, clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all of your uncleanliness and from all of your idols will I cleanse you. And a lev chadash, a new heart will I give you, and a new spirit, the ruach chadashah, and I will put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. We can have that if we only ask and we believe. In Hebrews 9:13 and 14 it says, for if sprinkling ceremonially unclean persons with the blood of goats and bulls, the ashes of a heifer restores their outward purity, then how much more the blood of the Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself to God as a sacrifice without blemish, he will purify our conscience from works that lead to death so that we can serve the living God. Praise God for that, that we have that understanding. And we know that the para duma is not a mysterious kind of ritual that we don't understand, but we can see that it was truly foreshadowing the death of our Messiah. Let us pray. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father and our King, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have promised us many blessings if we just follow and become obedient to your instructions. I pray a special blessing again upon my brother Don, who has been obedient to your word and to your calling. And may each of us like him follow in that same pattern, that we might truly be your sons and daughters, that we would bring blessing to others through our faith and our testimony, and that, Lord, you would use our lives to lead others truly to salvation. We ask this for your glory and honor. B'Shem Yeshua. Amen.
While the musicians are coming up and the dancers and the Shabbat school kids, I had a question for Don. Louis L'Amour? So, which one of the Sacketts? I suspect Tell. Yeah, okay. Had a feeling, okay. Well, I did like Tell, so we're okay now, good. Just was curious.
Just had some curiosity. Even I couldn't work the Sacketts into a message.
Thank you.
thought I was old. You didn't see that when that there's no Elaine.
Oh my goodness, where is Elaine?
Can you turn up the reverb? Where is Andy?